because even when she's like in a sad moment, like a, or like an intense emotional moment, she's like,
It's iconic. Okay.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
I sometimes have like stories that run through my head, and I have a subvert. I did subvert that on a romance relationship with a vampire. I just have to like get it. I just have to get it out. But I have a whole like idea of, yeah.
I'll do illustrations for you.
Oh, yay. Yeah.
Okay. So he doesn't kiss. They don't kiss. They instead, her friends, her dear friends, the friends who are the crux of this entire movie, hold a caterpillar in front of her face. And she falls back really hard on her coccyx, and that's like her go-to dork out move. And I'm like, how is her tail not, her tailbone not like fully inserted all the way up her body?
Because she's a superhero, and that is her superpower. That's her real superpower.
A rubber ass?
Falling on her ass and not having to worry about, not having to worry about breaking it. That's her real superpower. That's what Sailor Moon's whole thing is.
Okay, so now we cut to Darian outside, and he's like, okay, so in the dubbed version, he's all like, ah, the garden, it's beautiful, the flowers smell so nice, and the fountain's so relaxing. And like in the Japanese one, he's just like,
hanging out.
Yeah. He doesn't say anything at all.
I know.
He's just enjoying a moment.
Yeah.
Americans need to be told that they're enjoying a garden.
Or again, what if it's like we're doing this because we're infantilizing women on a subconscious level?
But Darian's a dude.
Yeah, but
oh, but it's for women.
But it's media for women. Okay. So we're having to put that information out there because we don't think that women are smart enough. Blah, blah, blah.
Man can't enjoy a garden. That would be heresy.
Yeah. I like that fan theory that we were watching on YouTube that he might not actually be a dude.
Oh,
because he's got a moon. Yeah, he's got a crystal.
The creator said that only. Oh, do you want to hear this?
Oh yeah.
Oh, do you already know?
Well, I've heard something similar that only women are powerful in this universe.
Well, only women can possess the stone, the planet stones.
Oh yeah.
And he has a stone.
He's got two of them.
He's got two of them.
Of course, he's a dude.
I'll high five.
Thank you, Jen.
I will high five you reluctantly. You, whatever. Okay,
but
he. Okay, I didn't know he had two, but he has one, and so the idea was that maybe he's a lady.
You didn't know he had two.
What? I don't know. I thought he just had an Earth stone.
No, but that. No,
he's like Hitler, and only had one.
We're talking.
Were you
about
giving me shit? I thought you were giving me lore.
No.
And I thought only you were giving me shit. But you understand that it's 2-1 right now. And I'm taking things very literally today.
Hey, welcome to my life.
I, for a second, thought you thought meat didn't have flavor. There's something. Okay.
I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry.
Moving brain. Like work brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. It all is all.
I did not realize that this movie was going to bring out this side of me. Like, I'm generally a...
No. You're very nice. And I will. Okay. So he has two stones.
No, he only has. So in the original manga, he possesses the Earth Stone.
Uh-huh.
But we were. My joke was about testes.
Yeah. No, I'm with you now.
Okay.
I'm on board with you. I mean, not actually on board. I'm watching your train go by now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So he's out there. All of a sudden, the sky darkens and rose petals fall. And the girls fall out of the building because apparently you can't lose track of the one guy in your friend group.
Like, nobody else is here, okay? It's just them. And, like, would I want to go to Bushart Gardens where it was just myself and my friends? Yes, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Rose petals falling down from the sky. The American version. They're rose petals falling from the sky.
Wow, it smells so good.
It's so beautiful. Japanese version.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I know.
It makes all of like the worried looks seem so much more important, and the American one just makes them seem so vapid.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. We'll try to stop doing that. But like, so then a mysterious man appears. Okay, so this is where my notes go. The bromance we wanted.
Well, okay. So like, I remember watching this in the early aughts and being like, so are they supposed to be like gay lovers? And I don't think that's what they were going for, because men are allowed to, because as time progresses, sometimes you recognize your problematic views, even if they are in a progressive manner. And men are allowed to have platonic relationships with other men.
Intense emotional platonic relationships with other men.
That ultimately don't have any sexual chemistry.
Yeah. Or even, I mean, yeah, you can, and it doesn't necessarily mean romantic. Like the, you know, we always trot out Frodo and Samwise for that kind of example, but it really is true.
Enter Fiore, or this mysterious stranger who comes right up to Darian and just starts talking to him like he knows him. But this is Fiore as an adult. This is a child who poofed away on the roof.
Yeah, it's nice to have come right back to it within like 3 minutes.
Right.
So he goes over and he's just like, I finally found it, a flower that's perfect for you. Right. Or I came with lots of flowers, or whatever he actually says.
Yeah.
And then, because it's the two different versions, he walks over and he holds his hand with two hands. And Serena comes over and she's just like, hey, this is a Japanese version. This is my boyfriend. I think the American version says something different. Like,
she's a little bit more polite. She's just sort of like, I need some time with my man.
Yeah. And Fiore just pushes her over.
Yeah.
And my notes go, he pushed a girl and I liked it. And then I wrote sorry, because we're in the Canada of the United States. And
you mean sorry?
I wrote sorry because I wanted to apologize to you a lot. I feel like at this point, I don't have a lot of appreciation for her as a character yet.
Right.
She's just this annoying girl. And I remember being like that, and I hated being like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That junior high kind of like intensity and like sincerity, but so cringy. Ugh. Ugh. You remember those girls, Jenny?
I think I was one of those girls.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, you were. Jen went through more relationships.
That's true. Mm. Not a lot. It was before 10 of them before I started dating you.
10 girlfriends. That's crazy. That's crazy just because I know that not all of them were very intense or long-lived, because it was all passion and sincerity and cringy as hell.
I meant to say that I had less than 10 girlfriends before I started dating you.
Oh.
Dramatic exit! He just like nopes right. He just sort of like turns around and walks away. And
swirl of extra rose petals, mm-hmm. And he vaporizes again.
Behold, the power of turning a fountain on and off. Because the fountain goes down when he shows up.
Yeah, then it comes back on. How dare you have the pleasant sound of a fountain as I am around. okay, so now we cut to them in a spa. Like I was saying, they were on like a spa vacation for the group.
I don't think they were on a spa vacation. I think they're back. The interior that they're in looks more like their hangout at Ray's temple, because there was always a place where they would hang out together.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's okay.
The Tommy mat, the fancy table that you can put your feet under and it's all heated and stuff, and the sliding doors very much remind me of like onsens that people go to in Japan.
Right, right. But Ray works at a temple, so, and this looks very familiar to her set up, like her own little like,
and they do have a computer there.
Yeah.
So okay. Wow.
Yeah. So newsflash, there's an asteroid that's going to be coming close to Earth.
But I'm sorry, in the American version, it's a minor planet.
Oh, that's right. They do call it a planet in the English version. Like it's bigger than Pluto.
it makes so much more sense in the Japanese version, I have to tell you.
I know, because it's almost like they knew what they were doing. Mm.
In the American ones, they go, it has some sort of mega high plant energy reading.
Yeah.
In the other one, it's just like, it has like plant power.
Well, like, I can understand them. Like, they have different technology that's probably scanning the planet in swish planet. So I can understand why they would use terms like plant energy, because that's kind of more for the Sailor Moon aesthetic. So, but it does feel kind of hippie-ish.
In the Japanese version, Venus leans over and she goes, are you guys worried about a little bit of algae on the surface of this seed-shaped planet? The cats are talking, and like, as the Artemis is like, I did a workup and I can show it to you. And then you see him moving the mouse with his little paw.
Cats using computers!
Cats playing with mouses. It's pretty cute.
That's adorable.
Yeah, I don't know how he types, though. Types like me. Yeah, I get it. Okay, but the girls design, and I can say girls because they're junior high.
Yeah.
they fall into eating pizza and gossiping about Darian's past and what that guy was all about. And that's more important than the planet who's showing up at 11 o'clock tomorrow night.
Well, they already have a time frame. You know, they already suspect that there's probably something suspicious about it. They're going to be keeping tabs on it. What else are you going to talk about? You're going to talk about this planet? You already got the readout for it. You already got schematics.
No, some hot guy came and said he wanted to go away with my boyfriend and I'm mad.
To be fair, Serena is the one who kind of brings it up. And that's when they start talking about it.
That's true.
Because she's super worried about it.
Yeah, but you know what I need right now?
A flashback to dead family?
No. I want a flashback to, well, he says it.
Flashback to him talking about how.
It's a flashback to his apartment.
Yeah.
But it's modern. And she's talking to him on his bed. They're not making out. They want to make out in front of the plants, but they're not making out in his apartment is huge. I mean, like when I look at a Japanese apartment for like a single guy, it's like 7 feet by like 10 feet. Ish.
Right.
And so like this is easily like 20 feet wide. And I'm like, Monsieur Darian. What?
Mr. Mask.
What is?
Well, he probably like, I mean, he has dead parents, so obviously he has to be well taken care of. See,
applauders, pro tip. If you want to be well taken care of, have dead parents.
Okay, in this kind of a show. Like, they're not going to, like, this is not the kind of show that's going to talk about struggles of orphans on an economic level. They're going to talk about struggles of orphans on an emotional level.
Okay. Well, he's all like, she's like, you never told me what happened to your family. Because even when she's like in a sad moment, like an intense emotional moment, she's like,
It's iconic. Okay.
I'm not disagreeing with you. He's like, yeah, but. You're my family now, Serena. And she like sits on the floor and puts her head in his lap. And I'm like, that seemed a little more intense than a kissing in front of the forget-me-nots.
Okay, it's on his knee. Because it comes back later on when they're chibis.
Yes.
So like it's on his knee. It's not in his lap. It's close.
The knee is part of the lap.
Is it though? Like a knee versus a lap?
It's not like her head was like, here on the bend of the knee. It was here, and here is part of the lap. The knee bone's connected to the thigh bone. The thigh bone's connected to Serena's face. Serena's face connected to Darian. And that's a much more interesting scene.
So you're saying that this is a more interesting scene?
I'm saying it could have been.
Because of?
How close her head was.
Okay. You're making the dirty joke now. Okay, I got it. I follow.
It was a sweet moment. I do like it.
Yeah.
And of course, I think that kind of positioning is more cultural. She was comforting him, but still looking submissive. It's a thing. Okay, how about Bubble Rose thingy? Invasion!
Ominous spore. We see this like spore glowing and it's like coming down through the night sky and it's like sinking into the ground. And then it like pops into a flower after a few seconds.
Yeah, it lands on a little tree on the street. Well, not on a tree. And you know, the bedding of a tree
right.
In the middle of the city. And I think Japanese people are just terrified of things popping up in the middle of the city. Like things don't roll into town. They just spring up out of the ground like monsters come down from the sky. Like those are the two ways that the scariest things happen in Japanese movies that I watch. Except for Houseu, where they go to it.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know why they're terrified of things falling from the sky, right? And it's next day, and everybody's walking around, and Chibiusa says, thanks for the pizza, Lita. I really appreciate it. She's like, you're welcome, because they're all like sunshine, lollipops, rainbows every day.
Yeah, they're walking to school, and in the Japanese one, she's just like, thanks for the lunch. You're welcome. And the other one leans down and goes, you're so lucky, aren't you? Yeah!
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? You know what we should have now?
Scout sense tingling?
Well, yes. Mars goes, huh! And everybody's like, what? And she's like, I feel something. Or something like that.
Yeah.
So they all start running because they know where her brain is going. Chibi Bunny Moon, she trips and she's like, wait up. I think she says in the American one, but in the Japanese one, I think she's just like,
In the English one, she does say, hey, guys, don't leave me.
Oh, okay. Okay. But in the Japanese one, she's like, you guys are the worst.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty cute. But hey, you know what? Let's just walk into a whole bunch of dead bodies.
Yeah, they're all dead.
I thought they only say their energy was stolen, right?
Which is very typical for Sailor Moon. You know you're in a Sailor Moon episode if you feel really drained and there's someone cackling over in the corner.
Because the whole premise is that it's the universe is all about stealing. The evil of the universe is all about stealing energy.
Right. It's pretty much an entire universe filled up with Colin Robinsons.
I like your reference. Okay, so how about they're like staring and they're like, oh, all their energy is depleted. And then little tumbleweeds of these bits of this plant that's over in the corner start rolling around. And then Serena's looking at one and Venus is looking at one real close and she's staring hard and you kind of see the vine wrapped around his shoulder. But then he like gets up and he grabs her leg and she does a flip and kicks him off. Right. But in the Japanese version, she goes, "You pervert."
He's looking up her skirt.
No, he was like, gonna go for it. Like, yeah. Pervert is synonymous with rapist, though. So,
I mean, these are strong, independent young girls. So they have to call out it when they see it. And they don't know. He could be conscious and he's just playing like that he's a zombie plant zombie. That's what I was thinking. So they have to be cautious.
All of these bodies start standing up, right? And then they cut to, and I think they do it in both versions, but I think it's, Mercury. Mercury goes, it's the plants.
Yeah, because she has the computer in her specs.
Well, she hasn't pulled that out quite yet. She's just observed that they're all covered in vines.
She is the smart one of the group, so that makes sense.
And yet she's still relegated to stating the obvious. Hey, why don't we just throw Rini through a window?
Well, I feel like Rini in a lot of ways was like the scrappy do of Sailor Moon, at least these earlier ones. Like in the fourth season, in the third season, she gets a lot more character development because she befriends Saturn. But like even in season four is just oops, all Rini. but in a good way. Sailor Mars goes on the offensive and she takes out all of these. They're pieces of paper that have specific characters on them that are used to ward off evil. And so that's like one of her when they power up and they're in their Sailor Moon Scouts, it's like them powering up and they have like access to more power. And so when Sailor Mars does her evil spirits disperse, she will throw out all of these different pieces of paper.
Well, you might call them a prayer card.
Prayer card, yeah.
Yeah, but like a warning token, a warding token.
Yeah.
Might be more accurate.
And so that is what she uses when she isn't powered up as like a, this is how I'm going to stop people from getting to a place where we have to hurt them.
Okay.
Because
so it works. All of the vines fall off the people and then all the people are gone. And I don't know if they're dead again or if they've all fled because they do not show it at all.
That's true.
But then, hey, how about a plant spider lady?
Don't feed the plants.
Feed me, sailors. Feed me.
Something else that we need to mention is that when Rini gets thrown through the window, Sailor Moon grabs her and
ends up with her.
Yeah.
Crashing through the window.
That's important for later.
So some of them transform. That's a lot. The transformations take a little bit. You have commentary on that?
So every time I hear this on the internet, it's always like, oh, the sailor, the villain just has to like hit them when they're transforming.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I don't see that as like being a one-on-one correlation with our time, like because they use with a lot of lights and everything. Like I always imagine that it's super quick. That's the way that I've been able to justify it in my mind.
Okay, fair enough.
Like they're not. So when they're transforming, they're not doing it in real time. It's just more like we get to see it because it's sparkly and pretty. And for whatever reason, if I had a magic pen that I could change my outfit just by swooshing it around, wouldn't I have that? Would any of us not have that? I mean, do you really want to have to like put one leg into your pant?
Never.
Never.
This is obsessed with ribbons. It's like just so many ribbons.
Yeah, like the ribbons go ahead and, wrap around Sailor Moon when she's transforming and then their gloves and then their boots. And it's supposed to look really pretty. And
it is very pretty.
I really
it's interesting because in the I think the American one is like a sailor, Mercury, star power, right?
Yeah, the Japanese is Mercury makeup, Mercury makeup, just that, because there's like different iterations and sometimes they do others like when they get bigger power ups.
Yeah, but and as much as like all of the toys we saw were very girly, sparkly, gem button, compacty things here, the wands and everything from the show, the Japanese version seems to focus more on like the makeup, aesthetic, dress up thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just interesting. It's just interesting difference between the two. Okay, so we've got ladies transformed into their power forms. And now, you know, they could have made short work of the Spider Lady if they cast their powers at the same time, but no, they take turns, wait for a counter reaction, then they take another turn, and then the Spider Lady has a turn, and then they have a turn. This is not D&D.
Are you saying that they would be so much more effective if they just hit her and keep beating on her when she was down?
Yeah,
that's
like if the one froze her up waist down and the other one sent the spinny lightning balls at her at the same time before she had like 3 seconds she needs to like break out of it, and then like maybe the lady cast the ice ball again, and then the other one puts lightning like straight down on her head, and then like, you know, like water attack, fire attack, lightning, water attack, then electric attack. I don't think a plant spider lady would live up to that.
Well,
I don't know all the Pokemon rules, though.
Yeah, this isn't also Pokemon. It's a completely different media. What I will say is you don't really see them combining their powers all too much, even in the television show. But I do agree with you. Like, it would be like it seems like they would be much more effective in defense of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They do mention at how quick she is. So like it may
she
just
dodges like 3 attacks and can hang off the side of a building.
Mm hmm.
Like so, Spider-Man,
yeah.
Except this is a woman's world.
Right. And one other thing. Oh, something I didn't say about the transformations is there is like when they talk about like nudity in the transformations, they're talking about like Barbie doll nudity. There's no nipple.
Yeah. In the Japanese versions, they had cleavage, but then they airbrushed it out for American versions.
Right. Or outlines of the breasts.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's similar to like Barbie.
Eh. I mean, like, neither of them seem inherently sexual. I did see, like, stills from the show when they were, like, taking baths and they would have, like, bulbous boobies sticking out of the water
a little bit.
Yeah. And so they erased that in the American ones. But, like, I don't know. Cleavage doesn't offend me. But maybe if I was a 90s parent, I might freak out about it.
Well, there's like, an entire group of people in America who don't like PDA. So, like, I don't think that they would be okay with, like, cleavage in a bath scene, or even just having that, like, you don't show kids going to the bathroom or taking a bath. That's just improper in America. So,
hey, you know how I wake up my friends who have been unconscious for more than a minute?
Putting rolled up pieces of toilet paper in their or like tissues,
napkins or whatever. It doesn't really matter. And then covering their mouth.
Yeah.
She straight up suffocates Serenity.
And this is another scene where Rini is talking to herself in the English, and in the Japanese, nothing's going on.
Yeah. So
nothing's being talked
about. Yeah, in the American one, she's just like, you're boring me. Get up. Why are you still asleep? What?
Right? Scouts need help.
Right? But in the Japanese, just silence until Serenity wakes up and is like, and then she like one-shots the toilet paper in her nose right at Rini's face, and then Rini wipes herself with a napkin.
I call it toilet paper because whenever I had nosebleeds, that's what I would do.
100%. I don't feel like tampons work, by the way. Not, I mean, like if you had a really bad nosebleed and you like were in an emergency situation, like stick that sucker up there. Maybe one of the Nazi tampons.
Oh, the OBs.
Yeah.
Because those are actually, because like most tampons are relatively like, they're too
not,
big to
not
go.
Not the ones, yeah, the ones I use, they couldn't go up your nose.
No.
I don't actually use tampons. So.
That was a joke.
Yeah, that was for the lulz, elf plotters. That was for the lulz. So she's like, they need help. She jumps up. Rainy's just like, in the American version, thanks for saving my life. She's actually so Sailor Moon's not Sailor Moon yet. She starts to turn and run, and she goes, hey, and she turns around, wasting valuable time.
Yeah.
And says, thanks for saving my life. You're a pal. And like does like a thumbs up. And in the Japanese one, she goes, thanks for saving my life. Go get him. Which is way cuter.
Yeah. But like in the English one, that's when Rini calls her Moon Mama.
Yeah.
But they don't do that in the Japanese, which fits better into the show timeline. Never mind.
Yeah, no, we're there with you and we're there for you. But we also should probably have another transformation.
Yes. Well, they have to show at least one per what they have to show at least one for the at least one full transformation scene for the movie.
Yeah.
In the television show, they could have gotten really creative with it where they just have like in one moment, Tuxedo Mask does this transformation where he's on a bike and he's just like riding the bike. And then like the way that the bike goes behind another car or it makes this jump and then you see it like get covered. And when it shows again, he's in his Tuxedo Mask outfit.
Yes.
So those transformations would have been interesting, and they've kind of forced your hand as a creative to like, you know, find new and different ways to kind of show how quickly they can.
I like it. There's not going to be a telephone booth on every corner.
Right.
This is where my mother, who watched the film with me, says, these things are getting a little old.
Yeah, because
I'm like, it's the first big one. It's the most important one.
Transformation?
Yeah, because it's Sailor Moon's first, like, end credits. Like, that's, like, the thing.
Yeah, but, like, I get it because it's so repetitive. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but think that there was a logistical reason for why they did that, because it saves them money on animation.
Yeah, especially they were saying in the TV version, they would they had to cut out so much content that they would take the transformation scenes and run it forwards and backwards so that it ate up time. Yeah. And I was like, didn't they just do that the other way? That doesn't make sense. Like, why? Okay, whatever. I just maybe thought it was part of the process. But she zaps the spider lady. And then who shows up? This time I wrote his name down as Ferrari.
Fiore shows up and he looks a little bit, he looks a little bit like his human form.
He's not a human?
He's not a human.
Oh.
And we find out in this scene because he then transforms and he looks more like the plant aliens from the first, arc of season two. And so he has green hair. He's got these like pink streaks on either
blue
side.
Hair.
Blue hair?
Blue hair.
Oh, it's blue?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's got the pink streaks in him.
Wait, maybe I'm wrong. He's got green skin. I think he's green skin and blue hair.
Teal hair?
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Yeah. But either way, so he's obviously not human at this point. And
he shows up as human. I think he just flashes into.
He shows up as human, but then he transforms into his alien.
He's like, I didn't think there were people like you on this planet. Which right. I think might be the Japanese version.
And
I think in the American one, he's like, I didn't expect this from girls like you, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. And he is he has this little thing on his lapel. And when we see it up close, we see that it is like the spider lady with long hair hiding her nipples. And she starts talking about how this place is going to be great energy. And I'm like, that's one calamitous corsage. Because of the puns. Do you know how many puns are in this movie?
Say it again.
Calamitous corsage.
Because I think that's alliteration.
Alliteration? Oh, yeah, that's probably more. Yeah, that's more.
No, it's fine. I wrote down Cassinium Blossom.
Cassinium, yeah.
And then I was like, evil boutonniere.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, but like I didn't have a pun for it either.
But there are a lot of puns in this.
A bouquet,
yeah. What is it? At one point he says, we're going to put the pedal to the metal. And I'm like flower petals.
Floral foulness.
Yes. But
a plant pest.
When Fiore arrives on the scene, he makes quick work of dispatching the scouts and he starts draining their power.
Yeah,
with,
he
like,
just like
vines.
He just force pushes everybody. And then it's just Serenity standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he like goes to do something about it, her being there, and he gets stopped by a rose. And then probably my favorite transition happens, kind of.
Yeah, because Tuxedo Mask does have some of the best like transitions of getting into the scene. Mm-hmm. I think at one point in the TV show, he shows up. No, I don't think that's in the TV show. That may be in the movie after this one, where he shows up as like you see Santa Claus riding in with the reindeer, and then surprise, it's Tuxedo Mask.
Yes. He's he's easily my favorite character. And I don't think it's just because he's a hot guy. I really don't.
It's the way that he comes in to like the scenes. He also is like, he doesn't do much in the middle of the fights, but when he does do something, it is pretty dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Like in this moment where he throws a rose and it gets stuck in the ground and Fiori's just like, oh, that looks so familiar.
You do remember our promise or whatever.
Yeah. And then Fiori's like, oh, this. Then Tuxedo Mask says, you were once a good person and Concedium Blossom has corrupted you. And
oh, wait, didn't actually say what transition it was. So he throws the rose and we go up to a billboard and then it's a row of men in tuxedos and he steps out from the middle because it has a convenient gap of people. Like, what? That's just his shape. Like I want to say with the apartment, the size of apartment he has, I think he bought that billboard, honestly. And he like steps out and he had to have gotten the photograph done. So he hired some models. Right. And then he like steps out of the billboard onto a lamppost where he has to direct all these dramatic lines.
And what's interesting is when he steps away from the billboard, it looks like he's walking straight forward, which when the perspective changes, it doesn't look like he would have been in front of it.
He can't walk on air, right? Like he just jumps and floats a little.
Or maybe he like, it's like an optical illusion where you have to look at it from the right perspective. But if you're down at the ground at an angle, it's just going to be like you were always on that lamppost area.
Let's conspiracy a little bit harder. What if he Chris Angeled us and there was a clear glass or plexiglass walkway,
you know,
that he had incorporated into the billboard?
If Sailor Moon and Batman have taught me anything, when you have dead parents, you are automatically wealthy.
Is that why I'm only half wealthy?
I mean, I'm an adult when I lost my parents, so.
Oh, you have to be a child.
Yeah.
And then not just immature. I'm asking for a friend.
You're asking for yourself.
Jen looks so disapproving right now.
I'm just trying to imagine Darian just being like, hiring somebody months in advance for this scene.
So you're saying you need a plexiglass walkway?
Yes, and it needs to be able to sustain battle damage.
And you want it to go from this custom billboard? That's like $50,000. Like 700 billion yen.
Money is no object.
Okay, but
I've been kissed by a rose on... that song has been running through my head.
Great. As long as you got the money, but like, how is that? You want that walkway to extend to a public utility?
Also, like, it's pretty convenient that he placed it in the right spot. Or maybe it's just all magic and we're overthinking it.
No, I want him to be complicated. So he's all like, Ferrari's like, hey, you're gonna come with me, and he's like, no, and he yells back about promises and how he's his only friend, something like that. But then he turns to Sailor Moon and he's like, you're the one who's clouding his judgment right now. And then he goes to shoot at her
using fingernails of doom,
super drag nails, right, big long purple nails, and she, for the millionth time. Well, the start of the millionth time of this film, she doesn't dodge.
Yeah.
She just doe stares.
Okay. Have you not like had one of those moments where you just stop and you don't know why you stop and you think you should have known better.
I disassociate, but in the moment I'm a very good reactioner. And so when somebody isn't, see my fight, flight, front response. Yeah, I'm flop and friend, so I do stop, right? But I don't freeze. No, I don't. I freeze and friend, and so like, but my freeze is very short. So like, for example, Friday I was on the freeway going to go pick up Lou, and I go to grab my Gatorade bottle, and all of a sudden the car stops accelerating in the middle of the freeway, and I am like three lanes over, and I go. I set down the bottle and I tried pressing on the gas, and then I like check to make sure I'm in the right gear, and then I throw on my flashers and I slowly get over to the side before I completely stop accelerating, and then I put it into park and I sit there for like 1 minute and I take a drink of my Gatorade and then I figure it out. But like in the moment, the idea of being like, if you do nothing, you will die, is at the forefront of my brain, which is why I have an anxiety disorder that shows up later when that's not a problem. So when she does, and here's the thing, one time, sure, but she does it so many times.
Well, she already did it for Rini, but she couldn't do it for herself because herself is in danger.
Yeah, she can't do what she did for Rini.
Yeah. So
and Rini's so annoying.
And so Tuxedo Mask has to like come in and stop it. And the only way that he knows how to do that is by throwing his body, not throwing her out of the way.
It was five fingernails and he really only had one rose left.
Mm-hmm. But it also means that he's getting in between his friend and his girlfriend, and his friend is being super aggressive. And
he's which like, I do like.
Yeah, but he's also like, he's like, how am I going to really get through to, like, I don't think this was like a conscious decision, but I can see him in a subconscious way being like, I have to protect the person that I care about, but I also don't want to hurt the person that this other person who's being super aggressive, but I also care about them. Mm-hmm. And so like in a subconscious way, he's like, maybe if I throw myself down there, Fiore will recognize the error of his ways and maybe be a nicer person.
And he's wrong. But
yeah,
my notes only say not a healer in the bunch. Does anyone have healing powers?
This isn't D&D. This is Sailor Moon.
Does anyone have healing powers?
Yeah, Sailor Moon. But she was.
But she never gets wounded.
She does, actually. She's just. Oh, okay. So like they don't have like the kind of healing powers that you would find in like D&D.
Okay.
Their healing is going to be like resting and recuperating. And because they're teenagers, you know, it takes them like maybe a month to heal from a broken arm versus like a half a year for a 40-year-old.
Praise God, I have all my bones intact and I will knock on wood whenever I can.
I've only broken a bone once, so.
That was pretty exciting. That's in a episode. Was it on a special? Did we have like a little special episode?
I don't know.
That was like a whole ranting episode.
I think so, but I think I've talked about it.
Okay, so in the American version, after he swoops him up in his arms and disappears, she falls to her knees in the street and wah-wah-wahs until we cut scene. In the Japanese version, she's like, wait, no. And then she falls to her knees and quietly weeps in the street as God intended.
As you would. Because, like, here's the thing about Serena is that she is a crybaby. But when she is, like, super, like, obviously a crybaby, it's over stupid stuff like, you know, missing a meal or, you know, getting a bad grade on a test.
Yeah.
But they show this throughout the series. And this is, again, something that was always so frustrating about the English dub. They never brought this out. There is a difference when people are getting hurt, mm-hmm. versus inconsequential things like missing your breakfast because you slept in or not doing well on a test because you just don't do well on tests. You know, like it was, what's great about Sailor Moon is that it is the first mainstream superhero for teenage girls. And she wasn't, she was always worried about like things that teenage girls were worried about, like not being pretty enough, being, you know, overweight. And like a lot of the original Japanese episodes go into the whole, these things are common. And because you have these fears, it doesn't make you less of a person. It was probably the first mainstream piece of media that treated teenage girls with a level of sincerity that we have yet to see. Like, I mean, I think you could probably argue that She-Ra does that because those are like presenting as teenagers. The Netflix She-Ra, not the 90s She-Ra.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
And you have like other properties out there that are geared towards teenage girls, but none of them have hit mainstream in the same way that Sailor Moon has.
Yeah. And the unfortunate thing is when the producers got a hold of this, they ignored that kind of emotional maturity that you can have as a young person, man or woman. Like you can have this duality. We all do. We're all coins. I told you during one of our first recordings, I was just like, you are a sinner and a saint and probably neither at any given moment. You know, the whore and the Madonna complex that people assign to women all the time. It kind of is true only in that you have some very shallow things about you and you have some very deep things about you. And those things always coexist. And you are so multifaceted. The fact that I feel like they had an eye on it. I feel like they had an eye on it in this series, really. And that's what you're saying. I just said it differently, but I'm agreeing with you completely.
Right. But like, I still like how you said it. So
having that level of responsibility too does bring with it a lot of earlier maturation.
Yeah, but it's so funny because I'll have met a kid who's had trauma, or I will think about my own experience and I'll be like, well, I had to act very grown up in a situation where I was still a child. And in those times, I would really berate myself when I acted childish. But now when I talk to children and they're just trying to be so grown up, I'm like, you still get to be a kid. And every generation goes through this. You turn around and you look at the kids coming up behind you and you're like, oh, honey, no, this could be so much easier. It's going to get harder. You need to be a child because that's when you develop the process and the ability to cope with the things that are harder. But like Serena, a lot of people don't get that kind of guidance. And so she has these outbursts that feel in contrast to her very mature times. But the truth is you have to embrace both of those, no matter your level of life experience and your level of trauma at any given moment. Like I whine and complain until Jen brings me a Hot Pocket, but then I will seriously sit down and have some beautiful conversations about, you know, life, the universe, and everything.
And like, how often is that just an aspect of human nature? Like, you could say that it has more to do with teenagers because teenagers, they don't know how to regulate their emotions.
Call them baby adults.
Yeah, but they're starting to learn. And the thing about learning is you're going to make mistakes. So like, but like as an adult, like there are times when I have moments where I just feel like everything around me is coming towards me and it's all like gonna hit me at the same time. And the only thing that I know how to do is pick up and walk away but walk away from everything. And like, sometimes you can't do that when you're in the middle of a conversation, an important conversation with someone that you care about, or you can't do that when you're at work. And so you kind of have to like hold it all in mm-hmm. until you can get to your car and start crying.
Yeah, I didn't make it at my previous workplace. I did cry in the bathroom. Something I like about this workplace is I haven't cried there yet.
Yay! But back to the movie, we have a flashback to the parents again.
Yeah, let's talk about orphan loneliness. Orphanage loneliness is what I actually called the scene.
Right.
Then we see a car fly off a cliff and then it goes to this freaking Sin City looking doctor in like black and white outline. And he's all like, the couple didn't make it, but the boy, he survived.
Yeah.
And then we cut to the boy and it looks like he's talking to the boy.
Right.
He's like, sorry. He didn't even say sorry. Your parents are dead. You're an orphan. There you go. And he's just weeping, head in his hands, weeping on a hospital bed. And he's like, I'm so alone. Mm-hmm. But then who steps into frame?
Well, I'm trying to remember because I think this is the moment where we see Fiore and Darian actually meeting. And Fiore is like, again, like on the roof.
It's not their meeting.
Oh, okay.
This is where Fiore steps into the, hold on.
So like Darian, this is where Darian is in the like underwater, like, no?
Well, no. No, hold on a second.
Because my next note is dead parents, I can talk underwater.
Okay, you do it then.
I think what we see is Darian meeting Fiore. It's like a rainy night and he like has an umbrella over him and Fiore's just like unconscious on the roof of the hospital. And so
I might have caught a different flashback because there is one where it's just him weeping in the bed after the doctor and that's when he's just like, he's don't like worry, I'm with you.
Oh, so he's laying down in the bed?
Darian is sitting in the bed with his head in his hands, and then Fiore steps into the frame. It switches, and he steps out of the darkness, and he's like, I'm with you. But then it also has, I think it might be here, but like, and maybe I didn't put it in my notes in the right spot, but you're correct to say that there is a flashback where, but I think it comes on the planet. So he steps. Okay, so we go from the doctor, hey, I'm here for you line. Not the doctor, I'm here for you. Fiore saying, I'm here for you. I think this is where he. Okay, so here's the thing. My notes go orphan loneliness and then Perfect Blossom has boobs and revenge.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like Darian and Fiore's backstory eventually like comes up, but I don't remember exactly where it is
mm-hmm.
because it's not something that he specifically tells to Serena. It's like him having this flashback. So We're going to just say that it's probably right here. It probably isn't. But there is that, like, Darian helped Fiore in a moment of need. And that's why Fiore and Darian are friends.
Yeah,
and
then, they were both lonely. And then they promised that they would never be lonely again.
But then it flashes to present where Darian's in this, like, crystal, like, tank because he's underwater. Yeah. It's like the tank that Luke was in.
It looks like the dark crystal, but. But he's floating in it.
Yeah, because he's getting healed or he's like in a sustained tank.
Yeah. It's like, okay.
And that's when Fiore is like, I found the right blossom for you. It's the Cassinian blossom. And she has boobs.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, we cut back to Earth where the girls are talking. The cats are talking to the girls and is like, the Cassinian blossom has the power to turn a pure heart to a dark one. And then...
Peony? Anyone? Thank you.
A cursed chrysanthemum. Okay, but we're about to go to space. So,
yeah, they're all like in a park, like a little like mm-hmm. like it's like a.
It looks like a park.
Yeah,
they're in a structure like a
the playground. It looks like a playground.
It does look a bit like a playground.
That's what I'm saying.
But it doesn't look fun. And the cats are saying, that Cassinian blossom has the power to turn a pure heart to a dark one. Sailor Moon's like, I can't stand to see any of you guys get hurt, so I'm going to go on my own. And they're like, no, power of friendship. Bunny Moon Pie, hoppity hip pink girl, she throws her fancy cat ball in the air. It turns into a gun. She shoots her in the forehead with said gun, and a suction cup arrow comes out, and then a little sign falls down, and they don't tell you what it is in the English, but if you watch it in Japanese, it says, you got this!
with a suction cup bullet to the face.
Yeah. Yeah. But so they all end up standing in a circle, and this is where they get their super zoomy powers to go to space, but they're still already in their powered up transformations. Here's my question, Lydia. Here's where the science breaks down for me.
Again.
Why in their transformations, when they're grabbing their super cool makeup sticks, do their fingernails change color when they all have opera length gloves on?
They don't all have opera
length. They do indeed. They do? Yes.
Excuse me, I need to Google something real quick.
In this specific scene. It might not be in every battle scene, but we're about to go to space scene, they all have opera length gloves.
Okay, so you're saying that when they transform, their fingernails glow up when they have the sticks up.
Yes.
Yeah, that happens. But when they actually transform into their full power-ups, they have full-on gloves.
Yes.
Okay, so I don't know if you realize this, but sometimes you can paint your fingernails and then put on a glove.
Why? It's all about conserving energy. All of this is about not letting evil suck the energy out of you, or I assume... complementarily, not expending extra energy.
I would not say that it's about not expending extra energy. Like, the transformation scenes are kind of gratuitous in a fangirly kind of way.
Okay, that's fine.
So, like, do you know part of the reason why people go to casinos with slot machines?
The noises and the colors that flash.
What are we seeing in the transformation scenes?
Noises and colors that flash.
And they make it, and they bring in the serotonin.
I appreciate that now that you said it like that.
So I'm just saying, like Sailor Moon doesn't do gratuitous upskirt scenes, which is really nice for an anime. But they do gratuitous, like there's one episode where they have like Sailor Moon just constantly like changing her outfits when she finds this transformation pin. And it's a pin that like when we're talking about changing your outfit, it's like changing your hair, changing your clothes, putting on the makeup. And all you have to do is do swish on the pen. And then suddenly it's all there.
I mean, if you want to go back to our Fifth Element episode, I only want that freaking pen that changes your nail color. And if we ever do, and maybe we did do Total Recall, it's been a long time.
No, we never did.
Oh, we should do Total Recall.
Yeah, the pen, I thought with the changing nails was Total Recall, and it was the eye makeup that she flashed in.
Oh, it's both. The secretary of the guy.
It's like a cap on the fingernail and then takes it off and it's a different color.
Yeah, in Total Recall, she taps it with a pen. Or it might be vice versa. I can't remember which is which. But I do want that make eye makeup thing.
So
I would do it all. I would do my eye makeup all the time. Yeah. I would change it every hour. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, it's lunchtime? K-kunk. Big bat wing. Oh, it's time to go back to work? K-kuh. Blue eye shadow. I want you to see me across the floor of the plant.
I'm remembering now. the secretary from Fifth Element.
Yeah. You said not to call you unless it was Mr. Big. It's Mr. Big. Something like that.
Mr. Shadow.
Mr. Shadow. Yeah. Okay. We do now. So they join hands, which is why I noticed the opera length gloves. And that's when they float up into the sky. They go to the ship that looks like a seed, and it looks CGI.
Yeah, it's some CGI. It's CGI. I remember that's definitely computer graphics. That's not animated at all.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Considering how, there's this thing that what is it? Anime is run on 12, it's 24 frames per second, but they double the frames. So you're really running 12 frames. They just double them. There's something about anime. So it looks if you ever watch anime and the animation looks a little bit less smooth, it's because they're doubling up the frames.
Also, why is it always bubbles in space? The spore comes in bubbles, they're in bubbles.
Because bubbles are fun.
Okay, but it's not to keep them breathing.
Well, so when they do their planet teleport, they're in a force field. And I see that as when Steven Universe goes to space and he's in a force field. He's in a bubble.
Okay.
That's what I see it as. It's just a force field.
Okay.
So, and when they actually get to the planet turns into more of a four-petaled.
It opens up it opens up the dog faces in Stranger Things. It just opens up
like
a corpse flower. Yeah. It just opens up and it's got all these, and then it's very alien, an alien from Aliens, the egg that opens in a way to me.
Right. And then when it opens up, it's got all these flowers on it. It looks kind of pretty and rocky, and it's a pretty battlefield, but
it truly is. They immediately get raised.
No. Okay. So they're in their bubble and they're flying through it. Uh-huh. And then they see one of the baddies come up. Is this?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a wasp type baddie plant thing. They never say words. They're only screamers. And she has blade elbows and she's chasing them. And they're just low enough that they're creating a wave through the flowers, which why? But okay. Because I thought they'd go into the flowers, but then I realized they're very shallow. So they can't go into the flowers. But why are they so low? Anyways, they decide that in order to kill this thing, they're going to run headfirst into it. And the thing explodes, but so does their bubble. And they go ass over tea kettle. And she again, everyone else does a flip and lands, but she lands on her coccyx again. Her main superpower is falling on her ass and not dying.
Correct. I don't disagree with you on that. That's kind of again, that's kind of why I find it so appealing, is because she if I were a superhero, I wouldn't. I'm how many times would I fall on my... If I became a superhero tomorrow, mm-hmm. How many times would I land on my coccyx?
One of the things about being invincible is that you get to land on your ass.
Right. And
That's why Superman is superior to Batman.
Yeah.
Sean, you can yell at me on the floor now. He does stick his head out, by the way. And I never know what he's like, hey. And I'm like, normally I come to him for break time. So I'm like, what? He's like, I told you. And I'm like, right.
Right.
Thank you for joining us for part two of our discussion on 1993's Sailor Moon R, the movie, The Promise of the Rose. We hope you'll join us next week for the completion of our plot walkthrough, as well as our shocked and applaudable moments. Putting on your tuxedo and ready to say, my job here is done, even though you let the ladies do all the work? We've got some great podcasting friends that would love to also have your listenership. Invasion of the Remake will be live streaming their remake and recasting party for Batman and Robin on April 28th. And Cinema Recall has the glorious honor of being such a great online friend that host The Vern is an official applauder. Check out links to these shows in this release's description. Hey, this is your audio engineer and someone who finds the term meatball head to be a compliment, Jen. Did you know that every kind, thoughtful, or helpfully critical thing you say has the power to transform us from an average, mild-mannered podcast into one with all the powers of the galaxy? By leaving us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser.com, or directly at shockedandapplaud.com, you can help lift us up in search results for others to find. We'll probably even read your review on our next episode. We'll be back next week for the final part of our discussion of this 90s manga-based anime. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.